Welcome back on Buff Talk here live from Old Chicago. Cal Friedman with you. As a reminder, if you're trying to come in and watch tonight's Monday Night Football action, New Orleans Saints are just taking the lead against the Carolina Panthers and the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns. We'll be getting away momentarily. Remind you that all U.S. Classics, $4 for pints, $5 for talls, only tonight on game night. And with that, we want to welcome in 14th year head coach of the Buffaloes, Brian Hill. Coach, you just mentioned that freshman got a very good win today against Wichita West, 42-6. JV results still going on. How much does that impress you considering where we were last week?
Again, they just been working really hard to get better. And, I think that they learned a lot from last week and, put it all together today. And it's really nice that they'll be coming home and be excited about going to practice tomorrow.
You mentioned last week that you wanted to have those units do a better job protecting the ball in practice. Did you see that throughout the week?
Yeah, they did a good job. We talked to them about some of the things we got to do. I mean, their games are no different. The ones that don't turn the ball over and don't have as many penalties are usually the ones that win. So I got, they did a good job of, protecting the football. And sounds like from Coach Delgado today that they really did a good job of controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
So on the topic of practice, you mentioned that last week you wanted to see your team handle success after the big win over Wichita North. You guys got out to a great start on Friday against Wichita West. Do you think it was the momentum from the week prior? Was it a good week of practice? Where did it all come together?
Yeah, I think we're getting better at our practice habits. They're starting to put things together. There's still got some hiccups on certain days and things that we need to get over. But I think that, building confidence, anytime you can have a big win like we did the week before in front of the home crowd, opening night and, the way that we can share it with the whole community that, they're ready to do it again. And the only thing that was a little disappointing is we just got to find that killer instinct to put teams completely away and not let teams hang around.
Have your past teams had that kind of killer instinct, and where has that come from?
I think it's something that the team collectively has. Some have, some haven't. we're definitely going to try to do things this week to, encourage them to have that. But, it's got to just be a mentality and a choice that a kid makes that we just can't go out there and rely on what we did in the first half and just kind of expect the rest of the game or the other team to lay down. We need to continue to work hard and earn everything that we did like we did in the first half.
Before I get too far into the second half, you mentioned on the post-game show when I had you on Friday, you said, I'll paraphrase, when these guys get to the right positions, they can do really well. Were there some things that you noticed throughout the game that you saw them in good positions? You saw them, playing as well as they can?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The way we returned two kicks in the last 2 weeks, we haven't done that in so long. I can't even remember the last time. And so, to have that and to put, a fear now in teams over the next few weeks that if they kick it deep, they run a risk that we might put it on them, And I think that's a big thing. Everybody did their job. They got their blocks. Coach Skinner, who's our special teams coordinator, does a terrific job of not only with the scheme, but him and some of the other coaches do a great job in the drills that they do to get them to perform their best, and it's really shown.
What was the buzz on the sideline like right after that opening kickoff return by Ethan?
Oh, just, again, just that it's almost like the week before with the, the big pass to Ethan that, just the instant confidence and excitement and everything. And then to be able to punch that in, right away. We haven't even played 30 seconds and, we're up 7-0. That builds a huge confidence in your team.
So you guys went up 28-0 at the half. One thing I wanted to ask about was this game, you guys experimented a little more. You had some shotgun sets in there, a couple touch passes to Ethan Allen, a couple to Michael Villalobos, but eventually some deeper concepts to Michael as a receiver. Was that an idea for this week, or is that something that you're trying to implement for the rest of the season?
Oh, we're implementing it for the rest of the season. It's just something that we wanted to grow from. I think that we wanted to use Ethan's ability to throw the football, to our advantage. And so being able to expand the playbook and be able to be in a situation through the year that, we can go into each game and find what is working best for us, I think gives us an advantage and adds another element of preparation for the other team.
Was it a confidence thing? Was it an idea that you wanted to have to start executing in multiple offensive sets?
Just something that we talked about this offseason as we got into the whole talking about who we thought we were going to be playing with and what we thought we would be good at, that, you know, we just thought that expanding it just a little bit, it's not going to get out of hand by any means, but I think the things that we have implemented are going to be good and kind of give, you know, defenses something else to think about.
If you heard the crowd right behind us, Deshaun Watson did just throw a pick six on the first play from scrimmage. Steelers are off to a good start there. You got some really dynamic skill players with Ethan and Michael. How have those two developed from getting minuscule offensive snaps, or in Ethan's case, no offensive snaps last year, to turning into these solid playmakers?
Well, you know, Ethan, you know, had done it, you know, pretty much all his life. You know, I mean, he was a big play guy in middle school. He was a big play guy as a freshman for us. And then it just, as time went on, you know, the place that we could play him early on was on defense, and we had playmakers on offense. And so, you know, now he's kind of grown into that dual situation. But I think that, you know, he's always been a guy. Michael has kind of grown up through the system. You know, he's just been waiting his turn. But, you know, we saw this, you know, at the JV level and even the freshman level from Michael, that, you know, we thought he was going to be a really good player when it became his time. And, you know, to his credit, he's worked. He's been patient. And now it's his time. And he's making the most of it.
You mentioned the dual setup with Ethan, but I mentioned it on Friday. I mean, on Friday, he had that kickoff return. He had an interception on defense. He scored a touchdown on offense. I mean, I know you've had more time to think about this now. I know I asked this to you on Friday. Have you seen a guy make three plays on all three levels of football in one game?
Yeah, we've had a guy just get rid of him, Ryan Hyman.
Okay.
you know, I mean, and that's what I told him. Like I said, I think I said to you after the first week was, you know, I told Ethan, I said, you probably got a little bit more respect for what Ryan did for us. And just because he was on every special team, he played corner, safety on defense, he was a slot receiver, he never came off the field. And, you know, every week we were, you know, battling to decide which player of the week he was going to get, because it seemed like he was performing so well in all three phases. So, yeah, we've had some guys like that, and those are special kids, you know, that it takes a special guy at the Class 6A level to perform in all three, you know, areas and be able to do the things that they do at that level. It's pretty tough.
And Ethan actually had just gotten an offer the day before. I'm sure you were there for that. Did you see that happen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the JUCO came out and they had wanted to visit with him, and you know, they had been visiting with him a little bit before, and you know, he deserves all of it. You know, he's worked his tail off. He's had a vision of wanting to play college, you know, football, you know, since he was a young kid, and you know, to hopefully see him get that opportunity is a very prideful thing.
I'm not sure if you saw this from this last weekend, but Jerry Ortega had his first touchdown for the JUCO.
I heard that. I was not able to get there, but I did hear that he scored. That's awesome.
Okay, how special is that for you when you're able to send these guys from, you know, Garden City High School to Garden City Community College, especially just someone who used to coach there?
Yeah, I mean, just something that, you know, to be able to see them continue to grow, mature, understand what it takes to play at the college level. I mean, it's prideful for me, but it's also important for our young kids to see that, you know, that somebody from Garden City High School can go play college football, and that they can look up to the, you know, someone like him or DeMarcus Elliott or Terrell Elliott, that, you know, they got all these guys that have had a chance, that when they look and they say, hey, I want to be that guy, they know they've got a chance.
What was Jerry like while he was with you at the Buffaloes?
You know, he was a guy that he was, you know, was new to football as a young kid, and he had to learn. You know, it didn't come as easy as you would think for somebody that athletic, and but just continued to work. And to his credit, I mean, he's the one that put all the time in the summer, the extra time, you know, running the track and those kind of things. So just, you know, those guys are different. You know, when you want to play college football, as I tell kids, that, you know, it becomes a job. And you've got to love the game of football to be a college athlete in today's world.
So one other player that I've started to notice really emerge within these last two games has been Braden Snead. He had a 20-yard touchdown in the second game. This week, got targeted once and had a 41-yard touchdown over the top. What are some of the things that stands out about his skill set?
Well, you know, I mean, you wouldn't know he's around because he hardly speaks. you know, he's just a guy that goes out and goes about his business and works his tail off. And, you know, he really has improved over probably the last, you know, 18 months. His body, he's growing into his body, and he runs really well. He runs track for us as well. And I think that, you know, he's really kind of come into his own. He's a guy that has proven that he can be a deep threat for us. And you know, that's something that we need in our offense, is because, as I told you before, you know, we don't necessarily need first downs. We'd like to throw the ball for touchdowns.
It's kind of funny because I feel like most wide receivers are very outspoken. So he's kind of the opposite, isn't he?
He's very quiet, but he is a leader in a way that, you know, he just works his tail off, and you're not going to hear him or see him very much, but he takes coaching, he listens to what you say, and usually don't have to tell him more than once, and he goes out there and does it.
What would you say is the biggest things that you've liked from the offense so far, and what are some of the big things to developing as this season goes on?
Well, I think we're better at more plays than we have been in the first couple of years of the flex bone. I mean, I think we've really kind of come into our own in some of the plays, but just probably more consistency for four quarters. We haven't really done that yet in the two games, you know, that the varsity's had to play all four quarters. We've kind of had some ups and downs, and, you know, we really need to find a way to get over that, because, you know, during that time can be a big difference. I mean, it's not that we're turning the ball over. We need to play at times a little better complementary football, you know, like after the fumble and we get the ball in the 26 and we give it right back to them. But for the most part, we've done a really good job. It's just that, you know, when we have an opportunity and we get up two or three scores on a team, we've got to learn how to put somebody away.
Now, that is something I wanted to transition to. One thing that I did notice you weren't pleased with in the postgame show on Friday was how the team played the third quarter. It's the second time you guys have come out of the half and sort of lost that third quarter. What's been the issue, if you've noticed one, of things kind of stalling out to start the second half?
I don't know. It's one of those things that we've tried a lot of different things at halftime. You know, I mean, we've you know, normally calm, doing everything that, you know, make the adjustments, get ready to go. Let's go back out and start right back up. That didn't work so well at Heights. So, you know, this week when we were at halftime, I really tried to challenge the kids and explain to them, hey, we need to learn how to play the third quarter. We need to go out there. I challenge you to stop them early, get the ball, let's go down and score again. And it seemed like not a whole lot of that happened. And then we started to sputter. And I think, I don't know what it is, whether it's the kids expect to just go out there and they expect the other team to lay down. I don't know, but right, we're gonna do some things this week in practice to try to challenge them and make them feel like they've got to come out of the third quarter so that we can get a better performance.
That's actually what I wanted to ask. Is it something that can be taught? Is it something that can be learned in practice, or is it a mentality thing?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. But I mean, you know, our time, or you know, you got 15 to 20 minutes, depending upon where you are, and we've got to, you know, you got to learn to be able to handle, you know, a little bit of recovery, a little bit of rest, but then, you know, you got to be able to crank that back up. And I, you know, that's the mentality part. Maybe we need to give them, I mean, we take a quote unquote halftime at practice. I mean, I'm obviously not going to sit down and live for 20 minutes, you know, I mean, that's just a waste of time, but maybe I'll give them a little bit more time before we get into the next thing. Tuesday and Wednesday, and see if we can come out of it ready to go, and maybe start with a, you know, a more intense drill coming out of that timeout to try to make that switch click on.
Now, the closing moments in that fourth quarter, you guys got the pick six, and the one thing that stood out to you when I was talking about it on Friday is the way that the other 10 guys reacted when Evan Fitch made the interception. I went back and watched it right after I got home because I kind of noticed the same thing. What I noticed was Logan Avalon was the guy who tipped the ball, but then ran to the sideline and made the block. Where does that hunger and commitment come from in this defense?
Well, it starts with Coach Reich. You know, I mean, he preaches about getting to the football and getting turnovers. And, you know, through the last, you know, 13 games that we've played, we've probably gotten more turnovers than we did maybe the previous 3.5 years.
Okay.
So it's just the mentality. They practice it. You know, when we're doing anything, they're trying to dig at the ball. We obviously want to get deflections and all that and be in the right spot for any overthrow. And I just think that it's just a mentality that, you know, even though it's called defense, that there's still a chance to score on that play. And, you know, for Logan to make that tip and get up and make the block and, you know, all those guys turning. And I mean, it's just, I'm telling you, it's just the thing that, you know, again, most people don't see unless you have film to watch or you've got a trained eye to it, that when you see those kids turn around and all of a sudden it is just like you know, a dog attacking, you know, someone, that they're trying to do everything they can to score a touchdown on defense.
Talk about film, right? I went right after I wrapped up our post game, and I went to talk with Aaron Elam, and I told him how much, you know, I really liked how the defense played. And he told me instantly, he goes, oh, Justin's an absolute film junkie. Yeah. I asked him that at the start of this. He didn't, yeah, you're not even denying it either. I mean, where does that come from with him?
Well, I think that, you know, it's just something. Justin's a very highly intelligent person. Other than football, you know, his ACT score and mine, it would take three of mine to get to his one probably. But, you know, I think that coaches in general today, you know, with as much film and as good film that you get, there's, you know, we can watch it six times and find something new six different times. And I think that that's what Justin's good at. You know, they just pay attention to what the defense is doing, how they're trying to attack other defenses, and then trying to put our kids in the right position to try to stop them.
How'd you come across him?
He came back here. He came to be our truancy officer. Mm-hmm. At this high school, when we moved to the new high school, and he started out for me as the Kenneth Henderson head coach. Then he moved up with that group to be the freshman head coach, and then he became a varsity assistant. And then through time, he's just learned and continued to be around. And we, you know, he became a guy that, you know, had the ability to be a coordinator. And when that time came, it was a very easy choice for me.
That's what I wanted to ask about. He's been on your staff for 11 of your 14 seasons with the Buffaloes. I mean, what's worked with you two's relationship that's allowed you to coach these players up?
Well, I think that, you know, any of the assistants that are with me for a long time, that, you know, we spend so much time together talking about scheme, and we go to clinics and throw things out there. We're not afraid to look at something in a different way. Just because it worked one year doesn't mean it's going to work with the next group. So I think that we just get to be on the same page and understand who we are. You know, we kind of have the same mentality. You know, very hard nose, get after you, want to be in your face, you know, in the offense and the defense. We want to own the line of scrimmage, and I think that is something that the both of us share.
You mentioned it's kind of like you have the same mentality. Has he made those gifts that he is showing to the players? Has he made one of you?
Well, if he has, I haven't seen it. But I mean, that's just the kind of thing that he is very technical. He has a he does things that kids like, that kind of grows with them, and they understand him, and you know, and that's why they play so hard for him.
Got it. Coach, thank you so much for coming on. Big game this week against Hayes. You can catch the action here on KWKR 999 The Rock on Friday. Opener WAC play. Super excited to watch that one play. Yep. Coach, so much for joining in. Best of luck this week.
All right. Thanks, Cal.
All right. That will do it for this edition of Buff Talk here live from Old Chicago. As a reminder, if you're coming in to watch these football games, $4 off on U.S. Classics and $5 for pints tonight here live from Old Chicago. Thank you so much to defensive coordinator and assistant coach Justin Reich for joining the show, along with defensive end and defensive tackle David Holguin, and, of course, 14th year head coach Brian Hill. Thank you so much to Old Chicago for the hospitality, and thank you so much to Colin Wilhoff, who's been back in the Garden City studio producing this for me on the board operator. My name is Cal Friedman. Hope to see you around soon. This has been Buff Talk here live from Old Chicago.
You've been listening to Buff Talk, live from Old Chicago in Garden City. Buff Talk, a presentation of Western Kansas Broadcast Center Sports.